We've got two Sundays before Advent begins, and I'm really looking forward to Advent. I think that we're going to do kind of we're going to tell the original stories on Advent. Nothing fancy, and that's kind of just the way that Neighbors is. We're nothing fancy. I'm looking forward to that. But the two Sundays before we begin Advent, I wanted to talk about this. Two words that can sometimes make us feel uncomfortable. Not all the time, but sometimes as church people, it can make us feel uncomfortable, whether we are church attenders or kind of outside of the church. I'm going to cover one this Sunday, and then the second one will be next Sunday. The first one, this Sunday, it might surprise you, but the word is worship. Sometimes the word worship can make people feel a little uncomfortable. I think it depends on your perspective and where you're at in your life. I was a latecomer to Christianity. When I grew up in a Christian home, but I was a latecomer to actually really embracing it. And so when I would hear words like worship, I would think of people, you know, kind of like freaking out, you know, just like on their knees and with the arms raised. And as a matter of fact, if you Google just like image search worship, you always see this thing going on where everyone's just got their hands in the air. And that's fine, you know, I mean, but it doesn't, for me, I'm a little bit more on the introverted side, and I just, you know, I mean, I'm short. This just makes me look like I'm reaching for stuff. It just didn't make any sense to me. And so it was hard for me to picture anything other than this image. And for some reason, it's always somebody with their back to the camera out in a cornfield or something like that. I don't know what that's all about either, but it's always, you know, people just doing that. And so that made me feel a little bit uncomfortable when I would hear that word. I would think that it would be something, you know, that we would have to fall for. Does that make sense? Like you, it was part of a group, you know, weirdness that was going on. I hate to get technical here. I hate to use technical terms. But it was like a group weirdness that was happening. And you would, a lot of people, their reference to church without coming to an actual church, when they watch things on TV, what they see can be sometimes misleading, because sometimes they see these enormous crowds and these light machines and all of this kind of stuff, and people just, you know, doing all this kind of stuff, and they're dropping to their knees and they're speaking, you know, in tongues, and you've got a pastor up there that's like this, you know, celebrity, and he's just, I mean, people are ecstatic when the pastor comes out, and when some of them, they'll have like this almost like an opening show before, and you don't see the pastor or anybody. He's off on the side there or something, hidden, you know, behind a curtain or whatever, like the wizard. And then when the show starts, and I call it a show because when you watch it on TV, it actually looks kind of like a show. It's got all of the things and the stuff. He comes out to just, and usually it's a he. I don't mean to be chauvinist, but usually it's a he. He comes out with this like great applause and just everyone, oh, it's just amazing. It's so, what are you going to say to us? And then they come in, they start, you know, talking about stuff. And then that person is usually plugging something else. He's usually plugging like the need for a plane or a boat or a new, you know, whatever the case may be, and people are just going, I'll give you everything in the world and stuff, and that it's just, that's what I used to think of was worship before I actually stepped into a church. Oddly enough, when I went into a church, I did see some people doing this, and I saw some people not doing this. The more that I visited a church, the more I realized the churches are just, for many parts, it's regular people seeking God. And that is what I believe worship is, but we get misled on that. I think that worship is putting your energy toward anything that you see as higher than yourself, as something that it is. If you look it up on Webster's Dictionary, it is truly giving respect and energy to a higher power, a higher being. And for Christians, that is Christ. It's not the guy that's hidden behind the corner and comes out, you know, with all of this stuff. And they always have cufflinks. I don't have cufflinks, but they always have cufflinks. And maybe that's the thing that I'm missing. Maybe our church would be packed if I just had cufflinks. And then I would wear my sleeves, you know, kind of like this, and I'd be able to show off the cuffling, you know, and people would be like, oh, well, he must know what he's talking about. He's got the cufflinks there. But anyway, I'd still have some issues with some of those people. But we have issues with the term worship, because it is a term that has been a little bit used over and over again, and sometimes for the wrong reasons. We talk about worshiping this and worshiping that, and we are a proud people. For the most part, we like to think of ourselves, the human race, that is, as proud people. People that don't have to bend down for anything. People that don't have to form an allegiance to anything. We shy away from things to where you want us to go along with the flow. As a matter of fact, calling somebody like a sheep, referring to a sheep and all of that stuff, that makes us uncomfortable. Because we like to have our pride. And we like to have things that are, you know, I follow my own thing. I break by my own wind, you know, that kind of thing. And so, that's a joke. I don't know if you guys got that or not. But we're proud. We don't want to, you know, worship. And then we see psalms like this one here. This is Psalm 100 from the top 100. We're starting out with Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Some people don't have too much problem when they read that part. It's like, okay, we come into church and it's a happy place and we sing with Will and, you know, that kind of stuff. We're glad and it's neat and, someone made a joyful noise. And so, but then it continues. Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us, and we are the Lord's. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Now, some folks, that's where the problem starts to arise, because they look at things like this and they say, I'm not anybody's sheep. I'm not raised to be a sheep. This is a me generation. I'm supposed to be, you know, the person that follows my own path in life. I'm not just going to belly up to somebody like that, and I'm just not going to follow. If that's your thing of worship, I'm not, you know, and why do I have to be, you know, why, if God's God, why do I have to praise him all the time? Is he that insecure? Is he that worried? I don't want to be a sheep. I don't want to be just a follower. I want to be my own self. And so sometimes the word worship, when we talk about the word worship, we don't like it, because it means, for some of that interpret it, it actually kind of means weakness. It actually comes off as meaning something that is submissive, following, not strong, but weak. And that's sometimes what the problem is. We oftentimes feel like if we are worshiping something, then we are submitting to it. And so we say we're not going to do that. We're not going to submit to anything. But let me ask you something. Is that true? Is it true that you don't submit to anything? We're still surviving an election where people have put their vote in. And some it was a vote. But there are some that have put everything that they had. Everything. And we call ourselves prideful people, but we are following people, a person, a thing, and we are doing whatever they tell us to do. We call ourselves, many in the group call themselves Christians, and we claim that we are following God, but we like to follow physically this one person that keeps telling us who to like, who to dislike, what to trust, what to distrust, who to keep out, who to allow in, and we follow them blindly. And some, again, that's being done everywhere. It doesn't mean just the presidential race, but it means a lot of us, we have people in our lives that we follow blindly. Some folks are in relationships where they came in as a strong person, but what has happened is that they have become weakened because someone has taken advantage of them, and they follow that person. There are ways that being a sheep can be a pretty demoralizing thing. It can be harmful to be a sheep sometimes if we're following the wrong thing. It can lead us astray. If we're following the wrong person, it can lead us from Jesus. Jesus who says, let them all in. Jesus who says, love your neighbor. And Jesus who says, love your enemy. It can lead us from that. And sometimes the things that we worship are things, truly things. You know, we find a new trinket or something, and we want it so bad, and we find ourselves thinking about it. Do you know one of the most popular videos on YouTube are people just unpackaging new things? Just opening up stuff that other people want? You want a new stereo or something like that. Stereo is something people used to listen to as kids, but you go to YouTube and you can find a video of somebody just unboxing it. And they get tons of hits on their page there. They get a lot of people that are focused on just, ooh, it came in styrofoam. I did not see that coming. What a cliffhanger that was. And then we get these things, and we post them, and we put them, and we drive them, and we do all this kind of stuff, and it's just our things, and it's the things that define us, and it's the things that, you know, just kind of, we want the people, the neighbors to see that this is our thing, and this gives us clout, and our self-worth is based on this, and suddenly we are sheep. Again, we are doing something that is pretty darn close to worship. Even though we are proud people, we do not just follow along with the crowd. We are standing on our own, and we are strong. But I want that thing. And that person, I'll follow them, and they'll tell me what to do, and I like what they do. And then there are other things that are even a little bit more challenging. We kind of touched on it when we were talking about the things. Sometimes we can worship our own insecurities. Sometimes we get plagued by things in our lives. We look around and we think that there are so many people that are better than I am. There are so many people that are worth more than I am. And we look around at the things that are happening in our world, and we get plagued by feeling of inadequacy. feeling like we don't matter at all. We get caught up into this negative self-talk. Negative self-talk saying you are not worth it. You look at yourself in the mirror and you do not like what you see. And the imagery on television and everything like that agrees with you and says you shouldn't look like that. You should look like this. And some of us during the coronavirus that has put on a little extra virus fatty deposit protection, whatever you want to call it. The COVID-19. I wish it was just the COVID-19. But we look at ourselves in the mirror and we think, I'm not liking who I am. That even happens to pastors. You know what it's like to have a passion, what your passion is, people? Your passion is hearing from people, trying to reach people, trying to, dare I say, even challenge or inspire people, and you don't see those people. You get caught up into thinking to yourself, I'm not good anymore. I'm not good at this anymore. Maybe I never was. Maybe trying to start something new is maybe I'm not the one to do it. Maybe I picked the wrong path. Maybe I just need to stop. And you know what? No matter if you're a pastor or if your job is something else, every one of us, at one time or another, has faced those. I like to call them demons. And what's scary is that so many times we find ourselves worshiping those demons, those voices, those negative thoughts, those things that say, you can't do this, those things that say, you're not who you should be, those things that are saying, they're better, those things that are saying, keep spinning the plates to try to keep things going because you're going to drop everything and everything's going to break. You can't keep up with this. You can't keep up with it. And sadly, for many people, that leads to tragic outcomes. It can be people walking away from the life that they loved. It can mean people walking away from life. This is serious. When we worship the wrong things, the outcome can be dreadful, harmful, devastating. Maybe following a God that made us, that is with us, maybe that's not so bad after all. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless the Lord's name. And here's my favorite part. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations. That's bigger than the car, the house, the job, the one person. It's bigger than the voices that we tell ourselves, the negative voices that we tell ourselves. When we are feeling so alone, God is reaching out to us and saying, you're not, and you never will be. I am inviting everybody into this party. I am inviting everybody in to this kingdom. I am inviting everybody. That changes the rules a bit. If we are finding ourselves following something that is telling us to hate something else, including telling us to hate ourselves, we are worshiping the wrong thing. Because God tells us to love everybody for all generations. That means whether you are a Republican or a Democrat. That means whether you are an American or somebody from another country. When we worship God, that leads us on a path of love. Love for God, love for ourselves. Because God doesn't want us to say things bad about ourselves. God loves us. God made us. And love for a neighbor, who Jesus said is everyone, the ones you would least expect. Who do you worship? Would you pray with me? Gracious God, let us see the path more clearly. Let us stay on the path. Let us encourage each other. Let us not bring people down. Let us not criticize. Let us not villainize. Let us worship you. And let us show it by singing songs of praise, by looking out for each other. Let that be our joy. Let that be our joy. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray. Amen. Again, I do want to thank you for joining us this morning. If you're watching this live, I know that a lot of people actually will watch it later on in the day or even in the week. Wherever you're watching it, even if you're listening to the audio of the podcast, I want to thank you for joining us. And I want to make a request. I want to make a serious request. And that is that you, if you like what you see, if you like being part of Neighbors, please invite people. Please share the messages. Share everything that you can of Neighbors. Get the word out there. Let people know that we are here. Let them know that God loves them. It's so easy to do. Hit the share button on your, if you're watching on Facebook, copy the link on email it. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening to the podcast, you can easily email that, send, share it on your social media page. This is a message that I hope gets spread around. I really do. Worship does not have to be an uncomfortable word. And neither does sharing the love of Christ have to be an uncomfortable thing. Next week, we're going to do the second word that sometimes makes us feel uncomfortable. I'd love to tell you what that is, but you got to tune in next week. That's what we call a teaser. I hope you can join us for that. And in the meantime, this week, the question I want to ask you to share with your family and with your friends: what does worship mean to you? How do you define it? And how do you show it? And how do you share it? Love God. Love yourself. I mean that. Love yourself. And I really mean it. Love your neighbor. All neighbors. Amen.